This is an international podcast transmission. Is anyone out there? If you're listening, you've reached the No Fixed Agenda podcast.
I'm taking this train to the promised land. Won't you give it up? You understand. We'll take one foot forward. Don't look back.
Your set says the happiest. Is that the truth? Your hat says that. I'm sorry.
It is the truth.
It is the truth. Why mm-hmm. so?
Just things are really working out right now. Yeah. I've recently moved back to San Diego. I guess not recently. I keep saying recently, but it's been 2 years. So and this is where I grew up. So I'm happy to be home.
Where were you before?
I was up in LA for 12 years. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a third world country right there, bro.
I don't know how I survived for that long. I went to college there and then I stayed for 8. And I kept saying, I'm not going to keep living in LA.
What part of LA?
I was in Marina Del Rey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's not that bad.
That's like the best part of LA for sure. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I was born there, but I moved down here when I was like 8.
So okay.
Got a family up there. So
where in LA?
I was in East LA.
Okay.
Highland Park was the primary area where we lived. Good job in LA after there when in my 20s to 30s. And I was staying there for 6 months. By the stadium, Dodger Stadium, up in Atwater.
Yeah.
I was in Atwater for 6 months. My wife was like, I'm not moving to LA. I'm not fucking moving to LA. So that's how we ended up here in Oceanside.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's definitely the quality of life here is significantly better.
Yeah. What'd you study up there?
I was a teacher, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
For a teacher for 9 years. So
yeah.
I have a little bit of a career switch here, opening a bike shop, but
yeah, let's start from the beginning here. I didn't know that. So that's kind of cool. I wanted to hear a little bit more about that.
Let's start with the question though.
Caroline Paulson, mm-hmm. Soleil Bicycles. Soleil.
Yes.
So I want to make sure I say it correctly.
Yes, Soleil Bicycles.
We like to start by doing a little bit of an elevator pitch in a sense.
Okay.
With a little bit of a dating app twist to it, cool. Right? The swipe left, swipe right scenario.
Okay.
What would be your podcast elevator pitch to get people to continue to swipe right? Keeps them listening to this.
I would say that it's never too late to start over. And I think a lot of us get stuck thinking we chose a career. And I love teaching, absolutely loved it. But it took a leap of faith for me to do a career switch and do something different. And so I think a lot of people are afraid of doing that.
Amen, sister. I would agree with that, especially going from a teaching job to being a business owner. Yeah. That is a huge leap. You had that.
Same thing. I wasn't a teacher though.
Wasn't a teacher. Corporate America to be a business owner.
In my 40s.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of people are like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not. I'm just doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not thinking.
So to stay on that, what from family members and friends, what was some of the reaction from them to be like, hey, you know what? You're going to stop teaching and you're going to start a business. You're going to start a bike shop. What was their reaction to that?
So to give a little bit more of a preface, during COVID, I was a teacher at a school in Venice Beach. And during COVID, I ended up homeschooling 7 boys at a house in Venice.
Okay.
Wow. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to stay in LA, kind of what the next, I was ready for something different. Schools were closed, all of that. So I went out to dinner with my old principal to get some advice. What should I do next? And I asked her if she wanted to start a school. And after 2 bottles of rosé, she agreed. and 7.
All right.
Always.
Okay. This makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So
7 decisions made her.
Yeah. Literally the first bottle of wine, she was still like, I'm not sure. By the second, she was like, okay,
let's go.
Got that follow-up text the next morning. Do you really want to do it? Let's do it. I had no idea how to start a school, but within 7 months, we had fully built the entire school from the ground up and opened, and the school is still running today. So
like a charter school?
It is an independent K through 8 school in Santa Monica. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, what's the name of it?
Sycamore Community School.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude.
That is a huge, accomplishment. Huge accomplishment.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
What year was that?
That was in 2021.
Wow.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. COVID is what the conversation that was brought upon like that, right? Mm-hmm. So.
But so many businesses came out of that whole craziness, yeah, dude.
It was, I mean, if there was a time to start a school, it was then. Yeah, so we capitalized on that. And
wow,
I was really passionate about, like, you know, not just teaching students academics, but teaching them like life skills and having them love school and being engaged and community members. And I just felt like there's so much lacking in education and a lot of people are missing the main point. Like, I get it. Of course, academics are so important, but they're not everything. And quite frankly, if you're missing this whole other part of these children's lives, they're not going to be able to learn anyways.
Yep.
And so that was really the mission behind the school, especially with COVID, all the kids going home, you know, learning at home and all of it, you know, the social aspect and being in school is so important for children and development. And so when they came back to school, you know, there was different challenges for teachers because they've been at home with their siblings for a year. So kind of reteaching, like, you know.
And do you have kids yourself?
I don't. No.
Thank God. I was like, we know teachers that are parents and like, I could not, and I've always said this during COVID and I still say this now, like, I can't fathom going through the environment that was created in COVID for the teachers to go, I have to deal with other people's kids. One, two, I got to educate them somehow, same way, some way, some form. Yeah. Right. While the parents drinking 2 bottles of rosé, trying to make their own business out. Right. And so it's like, and then you got to turn that off and then deal with your own kids. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd
like,
be tough.
Dude, that's wild, dude. I can't fathom that. Anyways.
It's really nice to say bye to the kids at the end of the day.
For sure. But then you got to say hi to your own. It's like, ugh.
Then did you work at your school you worked with until you left that industry?
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still, you know, active in the school, visit and like, you know, so I was a teacher at the school, but I also ran the school, but also built you know, we were small. We hired 3 other teachers. So it was just the 5 of us that first year. And so that's when I taught myself graphic design and I ended up doing all the graphic design for the whole place. And, you know, that's when I learned a lot about the business side of things. Yep. And so with starting this bike shop, it's been a lot easier than starting a school.
I can see that.
Yeah.
A little less requirements.
a little less state requirements, less.
But you know, education was my specialty. So I could speak about that all day. And
so was it a passion?
Yeah, absolutely. It was, I mean, I built my dream school. Like it was everything, all the best parts about education and school all into one. I mean, it was, this past June, our first 8th grading class, they graduated and the speeches they wrote and how impactful the school has been for them was just like, it was like an emotional, surreal moment to see, you know, because they took a leap of faith. I mean, we didn't even have a school campus. I was holding Zooms for people to come to my school and we had not even signed a lease. So,
I also want to talk about the bikes, man. It starts there.
So it reminds me of that movie Accepted.
Oh, it's so hilarious.
I don't know, it was like 10 years ago or so. A bunch of kids couldn't get into college. Yeah. So they low-key created their own school out of a old mental health institute. And they
created their own curriculum.
They created everything. So
you gotta watch it.
This whole entire scenario kind of sounds like that movie a little bit without the hijinks, I guess. But
they had like a skating 101, rap building 101.
Gosh, that is so funny.
Partying one. It was so stupid. It was so fucking hilarious.
It was great. But that kind of reminds me of that where you're pretty much building everything from scratch, figuring out the curriculum with it, figuring out the campus aspect of it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like all the rules and everything. And like, all the emergency exits and this and that. And
all the safety requirements.
Yes. And then what you want, like, we were really active in the community. So I led leadership at my last school. But like I, you know, for this, I was like, what do you guys want to do? How do you want to be a part of the community? So building the foundation of that, what are our celebrations going to be? So it was a lot.
What was getting that first student or getting those first parents to say yes?
So it's funny. When I left this parent, they did a whole thing for me and she spoke and she wrote the most beautiful thing, but she had three kids and I taught the older sister when she was in fourth grade. She was already in high school. So, but it was the three younger boys and they were looking for something different and looking for something more. And they took the leap of faith. And they just said, we trust you. We trust you. And we were like, okay, there we go. I just remember being so excited.
Exactly. I can only imagine, like, we trust you, no, like, trust. Yeah. That's like the number one thing that we
talked
about.
And we were like, you know, at the end of the day, whether we're teaching it in a backyard, like, we will teach your students. And so it was, it was wild.
How big is the school now?
We had 36 our first year. Which is crazy because I had 36 in my class at my last year.
In your class?
Yeah.
Not in the school.
In the school, yeah. I'm like, so 36 sounds small, but it didn't feel that small that first year. Then we had 74, 96, and so now we have a wait list for all the
grades. The capacity?
Well, we've been expanding the school, so we've taken over some buildings. It's attached to a church.
Got it.
Yeah, when we were trying to find the location, I was like, how do you start a school? Like, what, where do I even look? Like, what? I literally like met up with a friend who was in real estate and was like, what do I do? What do I look for? Yeah. He set me up with a broker. We were looking for creative office spaces to turn into it. Schools don't just like pop up.
Yeah.
And then especially in Santa Monica, I wasn't going to go through the permitting process. Then one day my broker calls me and he's like, hey, there's a school that just opened up and it had a sycamore tree in the middle of it. And we already had named our school Sycamore Community School. A lot of people think the school is named after the tree, but actually, so we're like a school in Santa Monica. A private school in the area had leased it, put $500,000 into revamping the school and the kids never went back. Wow. LA didn't lift the mask until maybe like April. And then they were there for a couple weeks before school got out for summer. And it was just their fifth and sixth grade. Because they were spreading people out. They weren't going to renew it. We went and visited and I was like, okay, if we don't get this location, then that's our sign. We should not start a school because there's a sycamore tree in the middle. So if we can't, you know, go through with the lease, but we did. And we got our keys 7 days before school started. So seven days to set up the entire school.
Wow.
But
you didn't sleep for 7 days, I'm assuming.
I don't think I slept that entire year, that first year.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But my students were like so excited to be there. And they were so supportive of me and they knew
Talk about the fulfillment.
Yeah.
Of just like, I can only think about the goosebumps you got from the graduation aspect of things. Like that is when you have the ability to touch somebody's life and change. I mean, I want to start crying right now and change it for the better. And doing what you absolutely love. There is no greater fulfillment.
Yeah, it really, truly, it's true. There's really no greater form of fulfillment.
Like no paycheck, no nothing. Yeah. Like that is it right there. Mm-hmm. That is the best currency there is in the planet, in my opinion.
Yeah, and just seeing like, we walked to the library once a week. We walked to the beach. We walked to the metro for our field trip. So they learned how to function in the community, how to be safe, how so navigation, great. Like.
We shot a whole series on education. And this was like the biggest topic that we talked about, how dysfunctional the educational system was.
Yeah.
And so how kids nowadays don't know. We had a superintendent in here. He was talking, it wasn't designed for everybody, you know, but you have this kind of information, this kind of school where it sounds like it was.
It was designed for it. Yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah. Because those are the learning experiences. When you think of your childhood, what do you remember?
School.
Do you remember whatever reading out of a book? Yeah.
No, I remember two things. The shittiest teacher I had and the best teacher I had.
There you go.
That's the only.
Do you remember your fourth grade teacher?
Hell no.
Oh, most people usually remember their fourth grade teacher. I taught fourth grade.
No, I remember
my third grade teacher.
I remember three teachers, dude.
Yeah. I remember my sixth grade teacher too. But after that, I'm kind of.
So they probably made an emotional impact on you.
Well, my preschool teacher had a mean crush on her. She had long hair and
because she's so pretty.
I was in preschool, all right? Leave me alone. Yeah. But she was like, I saw my mom. Her hair is so pretty.
Yeah. And, I'm going to leave that one there.
Yeah, leave it alone, dude.
Anyway.
Alone. But I remember my shittiest teacher, Mr. Forrest, I don't even know if he's alive still. I'm freaking up pushing 50. He was the shittiest one that made me feel dumb.
Yeah, see? Right?
And then I remember Mr. Espinosa. He was the one that kind of like related to me.
Yeah.
Like 100%, like talked my language. Understood my culture, understood where I was coming from. Yeah. That's the shit. He was just like, even when I got expelled out of high school because of the things that I was doing, he's the one who caught me and he looked right at me. He didn't like grab me anything. He's like, you know what you got to do?
Yeah.
And I ran, I left. But then he called me. He's like, hey man, that's not what you had to do.
Yeah.
That wasn't, and I had it. Enough respect for him to go back to the school and take what was coming to me. Right. And so that's why I remember him, because in math class, he was the guy. Like, he's the only reason why I'm good at math, to be honest with you. Right. Wow,
that's
the greatest freaking fulfillment that you could ever get is doing what you were doing for a living. But we digress.
We digress.
What got you? Let's transition into Soleil now.
Yes.
Was there anything in between the two, or you went straight from?
So my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And I drove to San Diego every single weekend for the whole school year. He was diagnosed in September, so right as the school year had started. And he couldn't be around. My mom was with him. He was in the hospital for a long time, but my brothers weren't allowed to visit because they had little children. We never specified I was in a school. I mean, I would sit in the corner with two masks on, but I knew I needed to be closer to family. And my dad, he beat cancer. He's cancer free now. Nice. So it's all awesome. A good,
cancer.
It's a good ending, but that year was a lot for me. It took a toll on me, and San Diego is my home. This is where I grew up. And so it was really hard to be like, okay, like I've started a school. I feel like I've peaked in my career. Mm-hmm. I started school when I was 28. I'm 32 now. And it's like, what do I do next? And so when I moved home that summer, I felt really like lost. I knew I didn't want to just get a job at a school. I was like, I don't know how I like, you know, design my own school and then I become a teacher and follow someone else's rules and curriculum. I thought maybe I wanted to work. I wasn't ready to leave education and felt passionately about it. So I don't know. I felt really lost. Like everyone's like, oh, you started a school, but you left. And then it's, you know, so that's when my friend said, do you want to start Soleil? Do you want to open a Soleil in San Diego? And I was like, no. Like, I don't know if I want to leave education. All this. He was like, come on. Like, you've started an elementary school. Like, you can open a business. Like, you have all the connections. You're from here. Like, this would be my dream. Like, do you want to do it? And I wasn't sure, but after a few initial meetings, I realized, like, it lit me up inside. And the passion I felt again for starting this process over was it for me. So I said, okay. And here we are now. So that was kind of the transition between how I started with school.
I don't know. It's kind of one of those things, like you've started a school, which is immensely hard, coming into starting a business and seeing the ins and outs of that. I mean, before we got on air, we talked about the lease aspect of it and the 80 page lease that you had to look at and the ins and outs of the location you're at and stuff. What, as you've gone through this process, what's been kind of one of the hardest things that you've looked at and been like, okay, this is a lot tougher than has there been anything that looked at it as this has been a lot more difficult than opening up a school?
The thing is with my school, I didn't know anything about marketing. I didn't know anything about business. It was all learning it from scratch. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know anyone who had started a school. So there wasn't really people I could lean on for that. Yeah. With this, it's just been like asking for support and leaning on people that know. You don't have to be the smartest person in the room, but you can fill yourself with people who know. So I just, I think I've learned to ask questions and ask for help and guidance. And I think the one difficult thing. So I have support with Soleil up in LA, and my dad is my mentor, and he's a successful businessman, and he helps guide me with everything.
Beautiful.
And it's been, you know, it's been fun to work with him and have, yeah, just do it together, even though sometimes I'm like, okay, dad, you know, like.
So talk about Soleil a little bit for people who don't know what the brand is. Mm-hmm. Kind of explain the bike brand itself.
Yeah. So Soleil was started by a group of guys, and their mission was that bikes don't need to be expensive. That we should be getting people out on bikes. They can be a representation of you. They can be your mobile canvas, and they don't have to break the bank to do that. And so our logo has the E, the accent on the E is a guy jumping, and it was them taking a leap of faith, starting Soleil.
Nice.
Started with just their single fixie bike. They're awesome colors. They're super cool. And then it's grown, obviously, you know, beach cruisers, commuters. And then the e-bikes, they just launched their e-bike 2 years ago. And so that's what I've been growing and working on, because e-bikes are big in San Diego. But basically, it's a lifestyle brand, and it's about community and bringing people together. And people notice Soleil's because they're good looking bikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is your shop more focused on the e-bike scenario, or are you guys going to carry a little bit of everything?
We'll carry the other bikes, but I don't know how they'll do. I think e-bikes will be our big and main seller.
Especially Sandy.
Yeah.
Being coastal. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a single speed when I lived in LA. I would take the bike path to work. There was one hill I'd have to hop off, but it was no problem. I didn't need an e-bike. I moved back here to Encinitas.
Need a bike.
And I put it up in my garage, and it's been there ever since. And I got an e-bike.
Yeah.
And so I actually got a Soleil e-bike before I even was doing all of this. So
what's the difference? I mean, it's hard to, without visual, right? Yeah. Without a bike here in studio, like what's the difference really between a Soleil and a Red Rover or whatever other brand is out there? Is there a huge difference between, or is it just more of the lifestyle cruiser look scenario?
I mean, I would say the price point, they're very reasonably priced. And we did that because, again, the quality is fantastic. And I've had a lot of friends on all my bikes and everything for the past year, moving them, photo shoots, and they're in great shape. So the quality is unbelievable. And so I think people, you know, there's bikes that are $3,000-$4,000.
Yeah,
ours retail for $1,800. We have one coming out for $1,200. You know, right, we're keeping them low. They don't need.
he's on our website right now.
Like, I'm listening to, what better way to shop when you got a voice of the brand, bro?
Exactly.
Why not, man? Like,
so people are like, that price point is incredible. And we're like, yeah.
First thing I said to you when I met you, when you had your bikes there, and I asked how much it was, and you were like $1,800. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And you know, other brands are now adopting that. So actually a lot of e-bike companies are lowering their prices. Yeah. But I mean, if we want to get people out of cars and biking more and getting around, and I look at my e-bike as a form of transportation. I live a mile up the street from my shop. I work out. I go to Pilates right next to my shop. Like, I surf right there. Everything is in my Encinitas bubble.
Yeah.
Blessed. That's what I get after being in LA for 12 years.
Exactly.
I deserve this.
You can live in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
I deserve this. I really do. Yeah. But I use an e-bike to get everywhere. So it can, you know, it's more affordable than buying a car, but it's more affordable than buying a bike that's $4,000, $5,000.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on your website. So
yeah.
I'm looking and I'm shopping and I got all kinds of questions, right?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Suzette.
Sorry. Yeah, I am in the market for another bike, by the way.
Okay.
Road bike.
Okay.
I see you guys have some road bikes, but I see one of my clients wants me to do a try with him.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend our bikes for that.
Okay.
So
that's honest. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Ours are for more like the social riding and getting around and stuff, but not racing.
Yeah, bar hopping.
Yeah.
Going to the store.
Getting to work in the morning.
Yeah.
Mm.
But if racing, I don't know.
I see a lot of all-terrain hybrid bikes.
Yeah.
Nice. 4th of July. Got it.
Yeah.
Because I got a road bike, but it's just like,
Have you done the Oceanside bike parade?
No, I have not.
Bruh. Yeah, it's on 4th of July.
That is your vibe.
That yeah. is my vibe.
That yeah. is your vibe.
I'll have to look into it.
About yes. 2,000 cyclists just cruising. Cruisers, you could, mountain bikes, everything.
I got a great marketing idea for you.
Ooh, little tykes.
Yeah, why aren't you setting up a booth there?
Ooh, maybe.
Ride our bikes for free, right?
Yeah.
Give me a credit card on file. Yeah. Give me a friggin'.
I'm all about
this. Like yeah. People are going to be parking their bikes. They could just walk to you and drive a Soleil. Yeah. That's a casual bike.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay, let's go. We love this.
I am, I'm helping here.
What?
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious. The e-bike scenario around San Diego right now, right?
Yeah. It,
great. Like, I love seeing the e-bikes out there. I'd like to know your take on some of the youth and e-bike rules and being too young to ride them and all that stuff. Like, is that something that you guys consider when you're going through the process of selling those bikes? And what should we be telling adults and or parents that are looking to buy bikes for their kids? Cause that's I live in Carlsbad and Carlsbad is now trying to, okay, you can't be under 10 years old and ride an e-bike. You have to be a certain age limit. I know they're trying to do other things too, where I don't know, some of these e-bikes go so fast. Right. That you might as well be on a motorcycle and there's no license for it. And you get kids that are doubling up on a seat, doing wheelies, whatever it may be. So I love seeing kids outside. We grew up in a time, or at least I grew up in a time where I rode my bike everywhere, in a small town, but it sucks. Like I get so worried about driving sometimes with the e-bikes and stuff. So what's your take on some of that? What do you guys look at when it comes from a sales perspective, or do you even consider that stuff?
No, absolutely. I think, with being a teacher for a long time, for me in Encinitas, I live across the street from a high school. I'm also 1 mile up the street from my bike shop. So I'm a business owner. I'm a resident, but I'm also education. So I have the three different perspectives. And that is, that's something that they're looking at right now. What should the laws be around youth and riding? And I think from a sales perspective, safety. When I think of everything, I'm just safe. How can we make the roads safe? How can parents be informed? How can children be informed? I know there's pilot studies right now about different age groups and different limits and this and that. And I think what it comes down to is thinking about the children and what is safe.
Yeah.
And I don't have one opinion of this way or that way, but I do know that it is an issue and it's something that cities need to look at. In California, they're looking, and there has been, unfortunately, accidents in Encinitas, and children on e-bikes have been killed. I don't think people need to be going. Children need to be on e-bikes that go 40 miles an hour pop wheelies and this and that. And so I do think that the laws and regulations that are coming in are going to be good, but I think there's going to be a lot of different factors that come in, but it starts with educating the children.
That's the hard part is, a lot of these parents just want to get their kids outside. They go out and they go to Costco and they buy a Costco e-bike just to get them a bike and get going. But there's no thought process of, well, what are these guys going to be doing, or how fast are they going to be going on this e-bike, or are they like wearing their helmets? Half the time, I don't even see kids wearing helmets.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's tough from that perspective how do you educate the kids, but how do you even educate the parents a little bit more on, listen, guys, I understand you want kids to be outside, but we have to have some acknowledgements here of what is the actual realistic scenario that the kids are doing?
Yeah. And it's like, okay, so then you can think about it, like you can force them to take classes or, but that just comes down to almost like a permit. But I do think if I were a parent, I would make my children go to the educational courses because I think it's, I'm not against children being on bikes.
No, I'm not either. But
and so I think like it gives them street awareness and street smarts that they'll get before they're 16. It helps them understand where they're going, the navigation outside. There's so many positives, but like children think they're invincible.
Facts.
And you know, that's the difference between adults and children. I'm on my e-bike and I'm like, I am not invincible.
I don't want to die.
I don't want to die. You know, I always assume the cars don't see me or you taking that safety measures. But children, you know, they have a little bit, teenagers can have that mindset that they're invincible and they're not.
As a distributor of bikes, how involved are you like on the manufacturing side from that all Soleil, right? There, yeah. You're aware, right?
Oh, so.
So as a distributor of Soleil bikes, you mentioned some litigation coming down from some of these cities. Are you aware of any of that? Mm-hmm. What are some of those things?
Yeah. So California is making a law about the switching between the classes of e-bikes. And so I think a huge issue was parents were buying e-bikes thinking they were going a certain speed, kids were jailbreaking them and going faster, right? So there's laws going into effect about that. Class one, are you guys aware of the three classes?
So I think that's interesting is I don't think a lot of people really know about the different classes. Yeah. And okay. And when as somebody who would be buying a bike for their kid, like that's probably not one thing you think of is like, oh, there's just a different
bike. There's three different classes.
Yeah, yeah. It's just an e-bike. It's going to go X amount of speed and whatever. So
it can't go fast enough to kill my kid, can it?
Yeah. But. So I think that is the huge misconception that there's all these different classes. So just for the listeners, explain the classes really.
Yeah. Good. So you have a class one e-bike. That means it can go up to 21 miles an hour or 20 miles an hour. There's no throttle. It's just pedal assist.
Yep.
So that's considered class one. Class one, you can ride on bike paths. You can, pretty much spring around everywhere. They're piloting studies with age about the class different ones. Classes. Yeah. So I'll go through all the classes and then we can talk about that. But class two is it goes up to 21 miles an hour, but it's pedal assist and throttle. Mm-hmm. So that means you have an option for the throttle. I like the throttle. When I'm at a stop sign, I like to be able to use the throttle to get started or a stoplight. It's a smoother, faster transition than waiting for the pedal assist to kick in. However, some people don't like the throttle. Some people only like it. Class three is up to 28 miles an hour. And that is pedal assist only. And so you can go fast, but there's no throttle. Some bikes, however, do have the throttle and the pedal up to 28. Soleil's does not. But some bikes do. And then there are bikes that didn't have a speed limit at all. So the Soleil cuts out at 28, doesn't let you like keep gaining speed up to 40, but other bikes you can
jailbreak or they come out of the manufacturer that way.
I'm not 100% sure. And I'm not sure around the messaging around it, but I know they go fast. And so that's the different class levels. And those are not allowed on, those aren't allowed on bike paths. And then there's actually off-road vehicles or off-road near trains. So those ones go over the 28, but they are not street legal.
Yeah.
So there are different bikes that go that fast and that is not street legal.
Yeah. See, that's the problem is there's so many different options out there that as a parent, you just,
you don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know. Like there's so many kids in our community that like, their parents are like, yeah, my son rides his e-bike back and forth. And I have so many questions because we've had conversations with Grace and Cannon and you and like all these bike information that we have. It's like, do you know what kind of bike it is? You know what your kid's doing on that bike?
Yeah.
Every time I go to a mall of any shape, any form, like I was in Vista the other day and worst scenario ever, but there's a group of kids, I would say about 8 or 9 of them doing wheelies and some crazy Yahoo in a truck in the back of the theater is like decides to pull drag racing speeds in his truck. And I'm watching these kids do wheelies going towards him. And then I see him bolting and I'm like, I'm going to have to save some kid's life right now. Right. Yeah. And the kid stopped, thank God, but it was very abrupt stop. He almost fell off his bike. And this guy, this complete idiot in a truck, I'm like, slow down. I was like so mad, but these kids don't know anything and neither do the parents, right?
Yeah.
And so Soleil does not do anything greater than a class three. And if they go over 28 miles an hour, they're considered not to be street legal.
Yeah. And I'm not going to be selling that.
Got it.
Or if, you know, it comes a point where I do have it, it's the communication to the parent. Mm. This is not street legal. For me, from a sales perspective, like, I'm not going to sacrifice anything, you know, legal wise, but safety above it all. Like, if a parent comes in, that transparency, sales aside, like, the safety aspect is so important.
It's about selling a safe lifestyle.
Yeah, safe lifestyle. And it comes up to the parents' discretion. Like, if they're going to let their children, you know, that's up to the parents. But I do think schools and Encinitas, I know they hold safety seminars, like, for parents can sign their kids up. I know that they're trying to get it more in schools. I would love eventually to have a program and go into schools and teach about, you know, street safety and all of that.
You referenced Grace. Have you heard of Chain Reaction?
I have not.
Once we're out of the podcast, I'll introduce you to Grace.
Okay.
It's Chain Reaction is a nonprofit foundation that is looking to educate youth with classes.
Oh.
Almost like driving classes in a sense, but they do it in a very fun, unique way.
Well, that's so cool.
I'll connect you with Grace, and then you can chat with her a little bit more about that, because I think what they are trying to do and what you're talking about is hand in hand.
Yeah.
A lot.
Absolutely.
And that was one of the things when we had her on, we talked about that. It's, you know, again, and it happens more and more too. Like, you start to see where gangs of kids on e-bikes start fucking around with people in trucks. And it's kind of like this whole entire, and most of it's a lot of social media driven. Like, oh, can we get out on social media? Can we do this? Can we do that? And you hear about how the vehicle is, or the driver of the vehicle is more in, of an issue than the kids. And I'm like, I don't really think the case, but
it's both.
It goes both ways.
Like, if you're teaching your kid how to be a complete idiot, then absolutely. Yeah. Right. And if you don't care what your kid's doing, that's an issue. But I want to go back to, like, the mandates you're seeing. That was the biggest thing we talked to Grace about with Chain Reaction. It was like, they have all this curriculum. They have all this information out there that they could actually do. And it's presented in a fun way. But it's almost like, if it's mandated by my mom or my dad, like, okay, whatever, right? You're not going to get this bike unless you do this, right? Yeah. The kid still has a problem, right? Mm-hmm. He still has free reign to do whatever the heck he wants. Or he might even know a friend to jailbreak it from a level one to a level three, like, or to an illegal, not roadworthy bike. Like, those scenarios are always going to happen. But if there's no mandate from, obviously, and I'm not a big government, like, put more onto us, but I am about incorporating certain mandates that would save lives.
Yeah.
If you're going to go buy a bike, an e-bike, one, two, or three, or you're going to go jailbreak, like, you should have a valid driver's license.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't drive a car unless we have a license, right? We can't even buy a car unless we have a license. And I think that's where I'm interested to see what the industry is going to do, what certain municipalities are going to do, because that is where, and if unfortunately you can make it fun, you can do everything that Chain Reaction is doing, which by far is so amazing. But if it's not enforced or policed, then it's not going to happen. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. If the cop goes, well, you're being an idiot on a bike, but you're not breaking any laws, so I can't do anything, right? But you're being an idiot on a bike and you're breaking law section, blah, 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 blah. Now I'm taking you to juvie or to back to your mom's house and putting a restriction on your license to drive. Yeah. Like, now all of a sudden you get pulled over, you might go ride it, but then you might get a fine. Like, then things start to change, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's not, but we were talking about this way back. It's not an issue in other parts. Like, I mean, I'm from South San Diego and there's not e-bikes.
It's a coastal problem, right?
It is a huge coastal problem. Like, Venice, you see them, right? All the beach areas, you see them. Like, Encinitas, you see it. Oceanside, Carlsbad. But you go to, you know, you go into Logan Heights or National City, you're not seeing this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so
it's definitely, like, coastal for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it comes down to, like, What's the safety measures of the city? I feel lucky to live in Encinitas because they have been improving the bike lanes. They lowered the speed limit actually in Encinitas so that cars are on the same level as e-bikes. So while I'm riding, the speed limit's 25 or 20 miles an hour, and that's what I'm going. I'm going with the cars. So they're trying to do the bike paths and all of that. But what it comes down to is, the safety of it, because you're still going to have drivers. You're still going to have people distracted. And, you know, I think it comes to the educational pieces for it and providing it and doing it in schools. If it were up to me, you would have to take a safety class before you ride an e-bike if you're a child. But right. I know, again, if that's not mandated, like you said, some people aren't going to, but I think incorporating it in the schools would make a huge difference.
Yeah.
And also, like, they just made it very clear in Encinitas, it's illegal. Bikes that don't have pedals and you can't pedal, that is not an e-bike. They're classifying that as like a motor.
And
kids are getting tickets for those, and they're around. And and Encinitas has been really on it recently with the cops and handing out tickets and helmets and all of that. I don't think again, like, it's the government coming in and all of this, blah, 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 but Encinitas had a problem and it's forcing people to be safer.
Yeah.
I think getting bike lanes has made a huge difference. I live right off Santa Fe Drive. Don't even get me started. Are you guys aware of Santa Fe Drive and the construction and the $7 million?
We've heard
the absolute shit show in front of my house. I've watched it from the past 2 years. I'm not thrilled. There was a kid who died on an e-bike on Santa Fe. It started this. I don't know what they spent the $7 million on, but they ran out of money and they popped lines on the road. And one day I said, no, this can't be it. And they never got to the intersection and the safe bike paths. That's a whole different thing. But
Jesus, isn't that crazy how that they spend all that money to put the extra bike lane on the coast highway, the to and from.
Oh, yeah.
And then they run out of money on a side street that's already an issue and they can't.
The whole thing was for the bike lanes and the crosswalks.
Yeah.
They never got to that. Yeah. So the only place I feel like Jesus take the wheel is when I'm actually right about to get to my house next to the high school, which doesn't make sense. But since I would say in the past 6 months, they have put bike lanes and clear lines down from when I go from my house down to the 101. And it's made a huge difference when there's a clear, even just the paving on the road, a place for bikers to go. Mm. Then that helps a lot too. But again, not every city is doing that, right? Yeah. Or prioritizing it. But it's an issue and legislation that they're going to have to figure it out. And they're pilot studying right now different age limits. And you cannot be younger than 12 years old. I think they're piloting for class 2. And I mean, you have to wear a helmet under 18. They're piloting everyone wearing a helmet if you're riding a class 3 bike. So they're going to see how it goes. But as e-bikes become more popular, it's something, you know, that people need to start thinking about.
Yeah. Does Soleil produce helmets or is that just?
Oh, yes, we do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In 4 different colors.
And so they produce helmets. Are they, because we talked about this with Grace as well, and some of these helmets are not rated for speeds of 20 plus miles an hour.
Yeah.
Are yours?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And you know, helmets actually are cool and trendy these days. You know, when we think about the helmets we grew up with,
A little bit different.
Versus the helmets now, like it doesn't stunt your style to wear a helmet and you can get ones with cool leather straps. And I mean, even I think like more in the winter when I'm biking and it's like so cold on my face, like getting motorcycle type helmets and really protecting. I think that's also something that people are really looking into is like, if you're going really fast, what type of helmet should you be wearing?
Yeah.
There's a lot of litigation I think that needs to happen, not just with bikes, but you're seeing a lot of like e-scooters and e-cruisers, like not cruisers, but skateboards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just recently had a loss in our community from that, like one of those single wheel paddle things and he's riding it on the road and wasn't wearing a helmet and...
Yeah, I mean, the roads, that scares me when I think of all the like potholes and like this and that, you know, like,
So it's just, it's good to hear that we got a bike manufacturer here that is doing their part to try to keep our kids safe.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And like, we're not, that's one thing that I have no interest in messing with or relaying messages to get someone to sell a bike or something like that. It's educating the parents. And I like, we'll be partnering with Encinitas, and I would love to hold safety classes, courses, all of that at my shop, or have handouts or recommend parents to different, you know, nonprofits or that can educate. And I really think empowering the children and
making it cool.
If they're going to be on it, then let's help them.
You got to make it cool for them. You got to make it cool to do a certification and buy a bike.
And I mean, when my friends go riding with me, like my roommate, for example, was very intimidated by riding e-bikes, and she decided, this is my e-bike era. I want to e-bike this summer. So I said, okay, we'll go together. And so we biked everywhere together, and I did all the routes with her. I said, hey, I avoid this main street. I go in the neighborhood here, and this is how I do this. This is when it's safer to be a car. I always say it's safer to be a car than in where like there's no bike lane or, you know, merging. It's safer just to be in the middle and be a car than be on the side. And then cars are maybe trying to pass you. And that's where things get in. So I taught her all the places. This is where I put my hand. I'm going in. I'm a car. And now she bikes everywhere on her own. She's teaching her friends how to use them. She borrows e-bikes from the shop. But it's like, it was practicing. And so when all my friends would buy a bike from me, I actually would ride home with them. And I would do the route with them for the first time and kind of walk them through the steps. So now then they have that confidence. So I think, you know, that would be great to have something like that, like to be able to bike around Encinitas and learn the pathways. And,
Where can people find your shop at?
They can find it right in downtown Encinitas on the 101 in the lumber yard. It's right next to Catch Surf, 745 South Coast Highway.
Nice.
101, suite number J105, but that's not written anywhere. So.
Look for the little man jumping off the E.
Exactly. And I don't have any signs yet.
I was Googling your thing. How long have you been open?
So we actually aren't open yet. Yeah. We're opening in the next 2 weeks. So,
okay.
I've been working on this endeavor. In January, it'll be 2 years.
Wow.
So it's taken a really, I thought we'd be open a year ago. I didn't know. That was wishful thinking. But so we went through with the permitting process and everything in the construction. And we're in the final stages now. So it's looking stunning. And I'm really, really excited. And it's not just a bike shop where you can do rental service repairs. It's a
I remember you saying this, right? You've set it up as kind of a community space in a sense, right?
Yeah.
Which is really sweet.
Yeah, that's my vision for the place is, you know, because a lot of people are like, oh, another bike shop. Well, what's going to set my bike shop apart from all the other ones that are in Encinitas? And it's going to be a place that people can come. I want to do bike rides. I want to host community events. I want people to come in and use the space. Like on Saturdays, I would love to do pop-ups with people.
Didn't June do a podcast with you in your office?
Yeah, and they filmed it.
There you go. See?
Yeah.
Community space.
It's a beautiful, it's really beautiful. I'm really proud of it. When my dad made a joke saying, are you designing a spa or a bike shop? I said, thank you.
Oh, wow.
I was like, that's the best compliment ever.
Yeah.
But so we have a DJ booth.
Regularly DJ booth?
Yeah, actually, it's being built tomorrow.
Wow.
But I want to include the community, and I want to make it a place that people can come and, you know,
that's cool.
Be a part of something. And I don't want to just be a bike shop where I sell you a bike and then you leave or we fix your bike or something like that. But I want it to be a place that people want to come in and hang out. And
all involve. Bikes, not just e-bikes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All bikes.
All right? bikes.
You are, I know.
Yeah, I know.
I know you're a princess, but I am not.
I have a pedal assist mountain bike.
Look at
that. I am 100% fine with. I actually have to pedal. Wow. So I get a chance to still work out in a sense. I don't throttle.
Yeah.
I just pedal.
Yeah.
It might help me forward.
Yeah.
But at least I have to pedal.
I low key did not like e-bikes because during COVID, like everybody else, I bought a bike.
Yeah.
Right. And gyms were closed. First time I've ever been out of a job in my entire life since I was 9 years old. And I go, I'm going to just ride my bike. My wife was pissed at me because I would be like, all right, I'm out. I'm going to go catch a sunset ride. I'm out. Like I would just go every day. Yeah. Right. And the one thing that irritated me was I'm sitting there huffing and puffing, dying. And you see this little e-bike. chilling, dude. Yeah. I was just like, good Lord. But now I see the purpose behind it.
Yeah,
people are still outside getting their sunrise.
Yeah. And it's a form of transportation. Like I don't bike for my workout, but I do take my e-bike to Pilates to work out. So then you got to think of it in that way. Like, I'm not trying to work out when I'm on it.
I don't hate him anymore. So
yeah, that's clear. Okay. Some people
do. Like, I don't hate him anymore. Yeah. I see a purpose behind it. I get it.
Yeah.
Good. But well,
Caroline, thank you for coming in. Yeah. Appreciate it. I'm so happy we had a chance to like hear a little bit more of your story. And you starting up a school, that's legit. So congratulations on that. And I'm glad it's still going. So
what are you going to do for your grand opening?
Okay. So
let's plug this real quick.
Yeah. So I have not started planning that yet, but that will happen in the next 2 weeks. I'll start planning it. But November 8th is our tentative grand opening party. It'll be an all day community thing Saturday, with different businesses coming in and
very cool.
Yeah, people can have a chance to win some raffles, you know, maybe win an e-bike, all of that. But there'll be a big celebration that day.
November 8th.
November, nice. Saturday, November 8th.
Okay.
Well, if we're putting it on, we'll keep an eye out for that, I guess. We're sticking with it.
Yeah, well, it's out there. It's out there. Now you have a deadline. It's just like opening a school without a location. Now here we are.
Yeah.
You're planning a grand opening without.
So if anyone is interested in being a part of that community day, they can reach out to me.
Absolutely. And where do people find you?
They can find me at my bike shop every day. No. My Instagram is Caroline Paulson.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well,
thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for having me.
This has been an international podcast transmission of No Fixed Agenda presented by Bubs Naturals. Music was provided by The Poor Dirty Astronauts with lyrics written by Matt Meyer. You can rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you find your favorite podcast episodes. NFA, over and out.